The Muslims, it's all based on jealousy. So either way, his anti-Semitism comes out. But there is a condition that we have to have, and that is...
Rabbi Alperin, can you hear me?
Supposed to be a Palestinian God. Now,
Rabbi Alperin?
Paul explains that there are three times there's a...
No, I'm unmuted. Rabbi Alperin?
It's come like a force.
Rabbi Alperin? Okay, his klita is bad and he got knocked out, and he'll probably get reconnected automatically, and I'll let him know. And he could resume.
Let him go on the phone.
Kafaho, you should be like this. You should be in a situation of helplessness. You're not in control. You're not the Baal HaDovah. For example, it's almost unheard of that a person is sick, never goes into hospital, and no one is there for them. No one is there for them in the hospital, and some people never even die without being their family around them. That's a feeling of tremendous shiftless and helplessness. It's from the corona. It's a nature, it's a... I know of a family in America, a very well-to-do family, and they would make normally a chasna 500-600 people. And it came to the time of the chasna, maybe they had 20 or 30 people to come. And in the end, I don't even know if they had a minion because people were sick with corona. The father of the kala had to run around and find the Masada Kiddushin had corona. Helplessness, no? People who have such control and such really affluence and ability, they're out of control. It's not in there. They have a shiftlessness. It's submissiveness that they have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the terms of the corona. Situations of Ani in Nebuch. Where I daven in shul here in Ramat Bet Shemesh, nearly every day someone comes forward and says, they have no money, a business collapsed, and they're completely in a state of poverty because of that. They have no control over their money. A mechanic turned around and said to me, look, we have no control over the yeshiva bachim. Yeshiva bachim, yeshiva katana, it's just hopeless. There's no schedule. What is this? This is Golas Corona, and it's a feature of helplessness, of not being able to control the circumstances that we're in. You ever heard of a situation where people can't go anywhere for Yom Tov, Leil HaSeder, people by themselves? It's all the same. It's Ka'afah HaOmet. We're not the Baal HaDovah. We're not like that. And it's a lesson, I suppose, which we have to take out. The nature of Golas. And that's what we're going through. Let me show you something not exactly relevant, but when I saw the Potsuk him in, I realized this is the same thing. Remember at the end of the Parsha, where we see that Laban came running after Yaakov Avinu. And he came and he wanted all his property back. And Yaakov Avinu gave him on the head, Ma pishi ma chatosi, what have I done for you? I worked for you for 20 years. I never brought back any animal which was blemished. I looked after you. I never stole. Everything was given back to you. What do you turn around and said the following incredible statement? And Yom Vayan Laban, listen to this answer. Vayomer El Yaakov, Habonois Benoisai, Habonim Bonai, Bahatsoin Soini, Bahoila Shato Roya Lihu. What sort of answer is that? What does it mean when Lovan turned around and said, all that you have is mine? What do you mean it's all mine? What sort of answer? Yaakov Avinu had made a timer, and Lovan answered back and said, it's all mine. But what does it mean it's all mine? So the Brisker Rav explains that he was. And the Chofetz Chaim turned around and said, that's the nature of Klal Yisrael. We're not about Dover. Yan Lavan turned around and said to Yaakov, Ataloba in Yanin, Adoni. It's not yours. Nothing that you have is yours. It all belongs to me. And that's a feature of the, not so much nowadays, but in Europe it was like that. But we're not about to come to Eretz Yisrael, live in Eretz Yisrael, and the authorities insisted that he should have a passport. He said, how does an 80-year-old, 85-year-old man find a passport when he comes from a birth certificate? I don't have birth certificate. I don't have any documentation. It all means to say one thing. Atalo bal dovo. You're not a person who is in control. And that is the nature, I think, of Golas. It's teaching us a lesson that we shouldn't be first figure. We should be second figure. We're not hosts here in Golas. We're guests in Golas. Little gripe I have, which I think is terrible. You see in these magazines and the newspapers that people make outlandish criticism against President Trump or Biden or whatever it is, who are we to make these criticisms? Who are we? We're in Golas. We're guests in America. If anything, we should have only our Golas Katzoyim. I don't understand where this right comes that people criticize a president when he's done so much for us. All right, so you don't like his character, you don't like the way he behaves, but we should only be as a guest. A guest says, thank you very much, we're in Golas. We don't have a right to criticize. We're in Golas here. We're supposed to be underneath. We're not supposed to be on the role of dominating and giving a role. We're not about Dova. That's the nature of the Golas that we're in. Isn't that what we said this morning? Adoin Olam Hashem Olach. The Terem called it. He is the Melech. We're not the Melech. We thought we have it complete control because of technology and expertise and travel and communication and everything is at our hands. But it's not true. We're not in control of everything. And that's Golas Corona. And it's all in this pasuk. Ka'afar ha'olet. Like Rabbeinu Bachai and the Sipona learned. A feature of Golas is to be like that. To not be the first fiddle. To be a second fiddle, to stand back and to be someone who is submissive. I don't say you should lie down and let them hit you. We're not like in those positions now, Baruch Hashem, like in your good ones. But we should know that we're not to exhibit ourselves, not to make a whole exhibition about ourselves. I remember reading about the Yaakov Kamenetsky. He was very upset that in chutzpah of it, people would walk around on Shabbos with their talents in the streets. He said, you make out as though you're Balabatim here, and you're not Balabatim. You didn't like people wearing a talent in the street. He said, you're not a Balabos here, as if you own the place. You don't own the place. In fact, the Amogen Avon in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Kof, hey, I looked it up. Mishnah Brum brings it down. Person shouldn't wear in Golas, because it shows as if you're in control. Even if it's a place like Monsey or Stamford Hill, I don't know, or Golders Green, or Borough Park, but we're not Balabatim here. The Afar Ha'oretz mean to be more submissive, not to be in a role of dominance. And that's the net. If you can do that, then his naimi also could be. You can lift yourself up afterwards. But that, which Yaakov Avinu was seen by the Sulam, it's the prophecy of Tal Yisrael and Golas. He saw all the periods of Golas. He saw Babel, he saw Yavan, he saw Edom, and he even saw Golas Corona. Because when it says, Vahaya Kafar Ha'oretz, Kafar Ha'oretz, that's what we're going through. We're not in control. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control. And if you learn that, then we can be zeichet to uparat the yom avakeim av tzofen av this Baruch Hu b'chol kol gayei ha'oretz. Where's the best example of this? Where do you see this coming out with such prominence? Where do you see it? Just give me a thumbs up if you're with me. Are you with me, everybody? Yeah, you're with, good. You're with me. Okay. David HaMelech in Kuf Lamed Aleph. Listen to this tale. David HaMelech was the most successful general and a very powerful and prestigious king. He had tremendous power and tremendous dominance. Vahe Hashem Imoy. Hashem was with him at every place. Vahe Amaskil Hashem Imoy. Listen to these words when David wrote his autobiography. Here at Kuf Lamed Aleph is the autobiography, I think, of David HaMelech. Hashem Lagova Libi. I never ever lifted my heart up to be somebody special. Say Chazal, it refers to when he was anointed to become the king in Bethlehem by Shmuel. Remember they called him in from the fields and Yishai and everybody was amazed that this is the person you're looking for. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu told Shmuel, Zehu, this is the one I wanted. I never ever thought I was anything special when I was anointed as king. V'lo romu einai, I never lifted my eyes up, said Adon HaMelech, when I killed Goliath. And all of Chazal, the singing that David killed the 10,000 and Shaul only killed 1,000. And I had tremendous, tremendous fame from that. But I never ever thought I was anything special. But lahilachti b'gdoilos, I never walked in gdoilos. The Chazal that referred to, if you remember, after Avshalom was killed and David was brought back to Yerushalayim, the king returns to Yerushalayim. Imagine the ceremony, the celebration. The king who had to run away now runs back, comes back with great, great pride and great, great prominence and celebration. I never ever thought to do it. I never thought I had anything special. Or beniflois me many. Or nor, say Chazal, when he brought the Oren to Yerushalayim and he danced in front of the Oren. I never ever held of myself as anything special. I never thought of myself. His autobiography. Listen to his next words. In loishi risi v'domanti nafshi. I always compared myself and always thought I was kegomul alei imoy. Like a nursing child lying at his mother's lying in front of his mother. A nursing child can go do nothing. I can't even lift my head up. I can't do anything without Hashem's help. Such a beautiful, beautiful description. I always thought to myself, a nursing child, Hashem has to help me, has to help me speak, has to help me decide what to do. I always treated myself to Gomel Olamash. That's a beautiful, beautiful metaphor. Such a beautiful example of shepherd. I always thought of myself in great shepherd. The next passage says, Yachel Yisrael Hashem Me'ato Le'adoylem. And Klal Yisrael should always hope in a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Rav Vozna, the Chassadik Divocha, asked a question on this end of the passage. David HaMelech describes his tremendous humility, and he never thought of himself as important. Why does it say at the end of this Talmud in Kuf Lamed Aleph that Klal Yisrael should therefore hope in Hashem? Rav Vozna says like this, and it's so true. He said as follows, if the king acts with pride and arrogance, so the people will act with pride and arrogance. If the king acts deceitful and willful and underhand, then the people will act like that. If the king thrives on wealth and prosperity, then the people will be like that. But if the king acts with great humility, the people will act like that. If the king regards himself like a nursing child, then so the people will do that. And therefore, Yachel Yisrael Hashem Me'ato Le'adoylem. It's a beautiful sequel to the end of the Talmud here. Klal Yisrael should follow it. The leader sets an example, and it seeps down into the nation. It's so true, no? Look around the world and see what the man, if the man behaves a certain way, then the people behave a certain way. It's so true. I can see myself, I know, in the new yeshiva, where I've been privileged to sit for many, many years. No one walks around like the big boss. No one walks around like that. Everyone walks around, finds his place, and sits and learns, because it comes from the top. The Rosh Yeshivas, the Nosson Tzvi, the Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the Beinish, his father-in-law, and the present Rosh Yeshiva, Shiva Lachem. No one walks like that. It seeps down. It comes down. When people act with great hanava, so the people, the avodim, the people underneath the king, also act like that. It's so true. It seeps in, and that's why David HaMelech said, Yachel Yisrael Hashem Me'ato, said Rav Vozna, since David behaved in that way, therefore the people shall act in shiftless. And that's the meaning of it. I must assure, I was in England. I used to be in a commercial lawyer in an office in London, in the West End of London. And we were doing a takeover years ago. It was before I got married. I used to be a lawyer there. And it was a takeover which was being done in the office. It was very complicated. There were issues involved and points of law which we didn't know about. And we went to what's called take advice from Queen's Counsel. Queen's Counsel is like the top lawyer, the top barrister in the commercial law field. And we went to his chambers, in the chambers, one of the inns of court in London, in the city. And I remember we had to go in there, about six or seven others. And the clerk of the chambers introduced us into the room. And we sat in a semicircle. And in the middle, there was like literally a throne. There was a throne in the middle of the room. And we sat there waiting. And then the clerk said, gentlemen, rise. And the Queen's Counsel walked in. And he sat on the throne. And he sat there. I can remember his approach. He never looked at any of us. He just looked across and answered the questions like as if we weren't there. And I remember, I think he answered the questions. And then after about 15, 20 minutes, the clerk came in and said, gentlemen, your time is up. 20 minutes. I think it cost 500 guineas for 15, 20 minutes. Something incredible. An unbelievable amount of money. And I came out and I thought to myself, my goodness me, what pride, what arrogance. A man of great, great stature. But he held himself in that position. I don't think he looked at any of us. Just a gentleman, and he walked out and that was it. The difference here, and that's the nature of Jews and Goddess. We're supposed to be like that. We're supposed to take on the role of a shiftless of Goddess. And that's Goddess Corona, which I think is enforcing it on me. I just had to share that with you. It's a personal instance because I can remember it so much. Whenever I look at that parent, I always think of the opposite, which I saw myself. There's a Medrash in Bereshis, and the Medrash brings down that the Yehuda HaNasi wanted to send a letter to the Caesar Antoninus. And he called his Talmud in about Efer, the Medrash in Bereshis Rabbi, and he asked him to write a letter. So the Talmud wrote a letter out, and he introduced the letter, Me Yehuda HaNasi La'adoni HaMelech Antoninus. And Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi saw the letter and tore it up immediately. He said, that's not the way you write. So he said, what shall I write? So he said, you write as follows. May Avdecha Yehuda La Adoni HaMelech Antonius. So the Talmud said, Rebbe, Rebbe, but your own covered, you are the Rebbe. So he said, I'm no better than my Zeda. And Yaakov Avinu introduced himself next week's parasha to Yaakov, to Esav. He said, Avdecha Yaakov, Avdecha Yaakov. I'm no more than Avdecha Yaakov, Adoni Esav. If Yaakov Avinu could do that with Esav, then I can do that same thing as well. And everything, he wrote the letter, and Antoninus wrote back to Rebbe and said, Halavai that I would be your Eved in Olam Haba. I wish I would be Eved Haba. To which Rebbe replied back to him and said to him, you should know one thing. Always, Yaakov was Avdecha, and Esav was Adoni HaMelech. Adoni, Adoni. Meaning, there's a certain way of behavior. And the way of behavior is laid back, but not to exhibit oneself, not to be in the profile like that. I believe that is the formula which we're learning from Kabbalah Torah, which is being put under at this point. We're being shown that this is the way we're supposed to behave. Afa ha'olot. If we do it correctly, then the end of the pasuk becomes a realization. If you have a chance over Shabbos, Rabbi Yisai, look at the clay yokar on this pasuk. The clay yokar has a beautiful hezbeh. And he says, the reward of afa ha'olot are three things. The first thing is uforatzo. As a result of your humility, you'll be brought up, you'll be spread out, you'll be jumped up, you'll be brought up, uforatzo. You'll spread out, you'll become well known. Yoma vakema safona vanegma. And the Kleyoka asks as follows: why are the directions opposite? Why do you say from the west to the east? And from the north to the south. Why don't you go from north to east to south and west? Why do you go opposite directions? From west to east and from north to south. And the Klei Yochai explains as follows. You should know, if you lower yourself and your profile as low as possible, not just Ufor Ratzah, but when the sun sets in the Yoma in the west, Bokeima is rising again quickly in the east. You should know. As soon as the sun sets in one direction, the result will be, if you come with Anova, you'll see the sun shining soon on the other side, opposite where you are. If you go all the way to the top line where there's no light at all, you'll see from the cave Negmo. Negmo is Doroim. Doroim. You'll live high. You'll live high up to the Kleyoka. You'll see the result, which will spread out in a most beautiful way. The result is, you'll spread out and you'll see very soon you see the results of what will come out by being such a low profile. And we see that, no? We see by David HaMelech. David HaMelech Yisrael Chai B'Kayom. Because of his great shiftless and his great submissiveness, we're waiting for Mashiach. David HaMelech's Malchus is the one which survived. Look at Rebbe. The Chazal learned out that the only reason why the Talmud was completed, the Mishnah was finished in the time of Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, is because the enormous tranquility and prosperity there was in the time of Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi and Antoninus. Because Rebbe made himself such a low profile, he was able, with peace and quiet, with all his Talmidim, to complete and close the Mishnah, which was an enormous task, enormous task. All the brises and the Mishnah to bring them all together and complete the Mishnah. And Chazal said it was only done because of the tranquility of the time. It was so peaceful in that time, the Gemara learns that in Sanhedrin. Is because Rebbe made himself into an Eved, and therefore he was able to be so successful. You see in the Mir Yeshiva, there's no room in the Mir Yeshiva. You see it coming out. Lakewood Yeshiva is the same. It's the same. The enormous success comes from the Afar Ha'olet. You see it coming out. And that is the promise which will come out in Mitzvah Hashem, in the Gula Shalema. If we're able to hold this low profile, I personally feel I don't understand why anybody can make any criticism against any government. I mean, all right, so they make. I think it's very wrong. We're guests in the country. We're not first fiddle. We're second fiddle or third fiddle. And once we start looking for that, then already the problems come in of anti-Semitism and jealousy from trying to do that. You will be successful, but to keep it as a low profile, not to make it as an exhibition. If you want to have a beautiful example of this, if you ever have a chance to read the Sefer which was written about the Gaon of Yaakov Ages in Sefer Tzadik Vorcha, he was a rabbi of Ramat HaSharon. I suggest you buy the Sefer. It's by Yedidia and Sivan Meir. I think it's called Reaching for the Heaven. I've read it about four times. I keep on going over it. It's not a Superman book. like many of these stories of the Gedolim, it tells lessons that you can learn from his life in a very down-to-earth and practical manner. And some of the descriptions are phenomenal. With Yaakov Edelstein, in reality, he was a rabbi of Amat HaShalom, but when he was younger, he was a contemporary of the Chazon Ish. He was together with the Chaim Friedlander, the Bol Pavarsky, Rav Dessler. He was right at the top. He was really in line to be like a Rav Shach and his brother Rav Gershon, Shivada Lachaim Fredin, Rav Gershon Edelstein. He was that, he was even a greater Lamdan, they say. He was a phenomenal Lamdan in Talmud Chacham, a massive Otzon, and he was there in that position, about to settle into an apartment next to Rav Dessler in Bnei Brak. And then his father died, who was the Rabbi Manat HaShalom, and he was told by the Chazon Ish to go and take over the position. I heard from somebody, the Rebbe in Esh Kodesh, the Piotzina Rebbe, that Shapira told me, that everybody was very astonished and shocked when the Chazon Ish said he should go to Manat HaShalom. To take a person like Rabbi Yaakov Edelstein and put him in a place where there's hardly any Shomer Shabbos, nobody at all there, Ramat HaShalom. And to put him there, everyone was, because he was really in line to become like the God Lador, like the Chaim Kanievsky, like one of the Gedolim. And he was put there, and he made a tremendous, tremendous Kiddush Hashem. I remember reading, it says in the Sefer, that his brother, Rav Gershon, said about him, that my brother had pure gadlus. He had gadlus in Yom Shamayim. But his greatest gadlus was that he was able to give honor to people who were nowhere near as great as him. He maximized on their honor and minimized completely on his own honor. He always put himself down, and he was able to relate to people in a phenomenal way. People relate and were drawn to him, and he made a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. Rav Vosner, evidently, still in the mice upon the book, Rav Vosner approached him and said to him, how come your tefillahs are so successful? He used to give people tefillahs and they worked, and people saw nisim from his, it's not in the Sefer, they didn't bring these down, these miracle stories, but there were many of them. So Rav Vosner pushed him, and Rav Edelstein said, it's not true. And Rav Vosner wouldn't have anything of it. And he pushed him and said, tell me, Rav Yaakov, why are your tefillahs so successful? He pushed him and wouldn't let him get away with it. So Rav Yaakov turned around and said like this, perhaps it's nothing more than midah keneged midah. I try very, very hard to listen carefully when people tell me things, and show them a lot of empathy and respect and sympathy, and listen. I try very hard. And maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mida Keneged Mida, therefore, listens to me, because I listen to them, so he listens to me. That's a beautiful point, no? Not, because I do try and listen to them, so maybe it's Mida Keneged Mida, that's what he said about. He never ever made demands on people, and yet he was a man of great prominence. And his shift was phenomenal, phenomenal. He lowered himself down in a profile. And that's the most I think of Ka'afa Ha'olet. That's what's being told here. That's the nature behind it. I want to end with, I think, a Maisa which really shows the value of lowering one's profile, which is what we're learning here about the Golas Corona, which I think is really a feature which we have to take out from Golas Corona. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is insisting on us that we do have this profile of shifters. It's apparent. Because as we say, the choyla, the businessman, whatever you're doing, everything is like, you can't make plans. You're not the Baldova, right? This God says. We're not a Baldova here. And that's what the goddess is of Corona. I want to show you a Meisah. In reality, I was thinking during the week, what sums it up? There is one chazal which says, Hane'elovim ve'einon oivim. People who are embarrassed and they don't give shame back. Shomim chepasam, they listen to their shame, are the einam meshivim, they don't answer. Smechim b'yisurim, they're happy with yisurim. Aleim achosav oimer k'tzeis hashemesh b'guasa. They are very, very great people. Extremely great people. People who are ne'elovim, who stand back and they hold themselves as shiftless. I want to share with you a maisa, I remember reading it years ago, of the Baal Sei Chemi, the Chizkiyo Medini. The Chizkiyo Medini grew up, actually he was born in Yerushalayim, and then he left to go, I think, to Constantinople, and he became a Rav there for about 30 years. At the end of his life, he came back to live in Yerushalayim, and he was made a Rav in Hebron. He was, I think, the Chizkiyo Medini was regarded like the original Talmudic encyclopedia, or the The Baal Sei Chemed is like an encyclopedia of all the Chazal and the Chof. Phenomenal, phenomenal brain. He writes in the introduction to Seichem, listen to this. When I was a young Avreich, when I was just married, I was just learning, I was very weak in Kishroinus. I had very poor ability. I could hardly learn. But I tried very hard. I didn't really get very far. And he says in the Koilel, who was jealous of me, who did. I'd like to give you money on the condition, I want to give you a lot of money, that you'll come in tomorrow morning when we're all sitting and learning here in the Beis HaMedrash and scream out and say, that younger man over there tried to molest me, tried to attack me, tried to molest me. She did it. She came in the morning. She screamed out. And it was a terrible, terrible commotion. And the Chilul Hashem was Meira. And the embarrassment for Chizkiah Medina was Meira Ba'oyon. And he was put in a terrible position. And the girl said, he tried to molest me. And he said, don't believe her, but you have to leave the Koyla. You can't stay here. And he was tremendously embarrassed. He didn't do it, but said yes, and this was the accusation against him. He went, he said, to learn in the Beis HaMedrash by himself somewhere else in town. About 6 months later or so, the girl, the Arab girl, came and found him where he was learning and said to him as follows, listen, we both know that it wasn't true, but I want to ask you something. It's true you didn't do anything to me, but I need a job back in Yeshiva. And they sent me away from it. I lost my job because of this. And I need a job back. I'm prepared to come into the Yeshiva and clear your name so long as you give me my position back. I want to get my position back. I don't have a job. I need the money. Lane, what a wonderful opportunity. He thought, of course, why not? And she'll get a job back. And then he says, in the introduction to Seichemet, he then thought about it. He said, but 1 minute, the girl's going to come back and there's going to be an enormous Chilul Hashem here. Because a bocha paid for an Arab girl to say that another bocha molested her is a terrible, terrible thing. He paid that money. In other words, it would all come out. And for that, the Chilul Hashem would be terrible. So he turned around and said to the Arab girl, I'll tell you, I'll do everything I can to get you the job back, on condition you say nothing about claiming my name. I don't want that. I don't want that at all. And he did that. The girl got the job back, and he remained with a terrible name. He said he went back to the Beis HaMedrash, and then something happened. He has no idea how, but everything he looked at, he remembered and understood like he never learned it before. His mind opened up. He said, it was as if I was a sponge. I took everything in and understood everything. And I grew by leaps and bounds in a very short time. And I became a Talmud Chacham, all because of that episode. It's an incredible Meisner. And he only became so great because of his shiftless. He didn't want to bring a Chilul Hashem. He was prepared to take this bad name just so long as to protect the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's shiftless. And the reward he was given for us, the Yom HaVakeima, everybody knows about about Sei Chemed, all because of that Meisner. He said, I was such a tremendous Shiata Dishmaya. In reality, Rabbi Yisrael, it's the next pasuk. V'hinei anochi imach u'shmarticha b'chol asher teilech. V'hashi v'yisicha l'adam ha'azaz. I will look after you and protect you. If you're able to keep this profile of Afar Ha'onet, a low profile, and that's Godless Corona, I'm suggesting. These are the circumstances. If we're able to keep this low profile and accept what Hashem is doing to us, in submissiveness, it's hard and it's very difficult. But evidently that's the Gezeira Min HaShamayim. That's the Golas Corona. There's Golas Yevoni, there's Golas Edom. Golas Corona is the submissiveness, the shiftless. If we can do that, then Halavai b'mheira v'meinu v'koras v'yoma v'keima v'tzafon v'negva v'nivruchu v'chom, we shall see Shema'aticha v'chon asher teilech. That, I think, is a lesson which comes out of a profile from Golas Corona. Shabbos, everybody.
That's profound enough. Please, okay. God, it should happen. Be'ezrat Hashem.